Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5 is back, live from the Liney Lounge at 50th and Dodge.
Following us on Twitter, who here, we're in the Liney Lounge, we have probably 65 or 70 people in here. Who's on Twitter right now? Who's been tweeting tonight? Anybody take any pictures and tweet it out? Because I know that Facebook. Kenzie, awesome. Andy's wife, took some pictures. Maybe was it Elizabeth, too? Did you take some pictures? Said there were some orbs floating around. It could be asbestos in this place, dust and stuff. I'm not saying that it's not. This is an old place. But it could be some orbs. I don't know. Did you see the pictures?
Yeah, I saw the pictures. There's one right over here again. Hi, Grandma.
Yeah, if it's your grandma.
You know, yeah. But we'll get those posted so people can check it out.
Where can they find them? On your Facebook?
My Facebook is Psychic Medium Andy Myers, and I'm also on Twitter under at Andy's Intuition.
Okay, and Elizabeth, too. Where can people find Elizabeth?
Healings by Elizabeth on Facebook is where to go for Elizabeth. And, we'll be sure to post those pictures because, they're floating around up
Tag
here.
Us. Okay,
and
yeah,
that's Andy.
That.
Kelly from Prism is also here, and your dad, Carl, who'll join us in a little bit from Prism,
yep.
Local paranormal
Where do they find
team.
You guys, too?
Best way to do it is to go to our website because that's the easiest to remember, the www.doyouseedeadpeople.org, and then we have links to both our Twitter and Facebook page off of that.
Perfect.
Wendy Townley's here, too.
Hi.
Hi, Wendy.
This is scary. I've been sitting behind you guys in the corner the whole time by myself, and I'm really questioning why I chose that chair.
Yeah. It's really freaky.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad we only do this once a year.
I know.
We're going to start doing it twice, you know, because we have
good.
April Ween,
yeah.
too.
Oh, that's true.
Don't forget about that.
It's on my calendar.
All right. Now, all right. How do people find you, too, by the way?
I've been tweeting tonight, so I'm on Twitter at W Townley, or you can find me at either WendyTownley.com or allaroundtownley.com.
Excellent.
Thanks to me. Since I reminded
thanks
you
to
that.
Pat.
All around Townley.
Right.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience of any kind?
Well, yes. The short answer is yes. And you guys remember this a year or two ago, but my husband, boyfriend at the time, Matt, and I went out to a cemetery out like in western Sarpy County.
Was it Ball Cemetery? Or was one of those sunken graveyard or something?
Yes, the sunken graveyard.
Whatever that means, wherever that is.
It sounds terrifying, whatever it is.
Right.
It turned out to not disappoint.
It did not. I know. No, and it's haunted me since that day because we took a photo and he was trying to get me to take a silly photograph just to try to spark some interest. And then sure enough, when we looked at the photo and we got in the car, there was a face sticking around the corner.
That's her husband, Matt.
Husband.
Just jumped out.
Jeez.
Awesome.
I joked I wouldn't wet my pants tonight, but now I just did.
Nice job, Matt.
That's got backup.
Way to go.
What timing. He just texted me and said he's on his way, and there he is.
Nice job, buddy.
Good job.
Way to go.
So anyway, that certainly was the case. Well, and here's the other weird thing about tonight, and I was just telling Andy this. I was sitting behind you guys. I've been freezing the whole night I've been sitting there, but it's only been the right side. Like, if you feel my right hand is colder, and I said, Andy, are you cold? He goes, I'm sweating up here. So
that's crazy.
Andy has said there's something about the changing of temperature when spirits are active as well.
Okay. Is that right? That's the...
Is it cold as spirit
only,
or hot?
Usually spirits are cold, but my sister, Elizabeth, she called... Yes, I think it was 2 days ago, and she's like, the weirdest thing happened to me up at the center. So she was the only one there, the only person who had been at the center all day long, and she said that she went to change her bed sheets from her previous client, who, you know, from the day before.
What does Elizabeth
do? You might want to mention
that. That was my question.
Yeah, okay.
Does it have the word parlor in it? By
She's a quote-unquote massage therapist. Elizabeth, as her Facebook Healings by Elizabeth indicates, she's an intuitive healer.
Okay.
So,
yes,
you
please.
Come up and tell the story.
Come up and tell the story.
I'm gonna butcher it.
Well, you've already said changing the sheet, so yeah, we'll just let Elizabeth tell the rest of the story.
She's making me sound like a prostitute. That is not what I do, and I would like people to come see me for healing, so I would just rather tell it myself. Okay, so I got into the office, and I went straight back to my room, and I have my clients on a massage table. They just lay there. I don't do anything with touch. So I actually sit in a chair about 3 feet away from them, and I picked up the pillow. And I grabbed where a head would be, and it was warm. And
ew.
Yeah, right? And I had it in my hand, and I set it down in a chair, and I was like, huh. Picked it back up, and it was still a little bit warm, mm-hmm. like a head was laying there. And there's no vents or anything that point down onto the pillow, so there is no reason for it to be warm. Because, I mean, if a vent were on, it would be pointed directly in my client's face.
Yeah.
So I quickly saged the room, and then I changed the sheets.
That's freaky.
I thought about telling my client when they came, but I decided not.
No, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. No, not good,
good idea.
For business.
Wow.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you for that.
Wow. So you okay? So you're.
I am scare avert. Like I love like the fun of Halloween, uh-huh. like candy and snacks and pumpkins.
Right.
But like all of this business is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
It's really, and I just get scared very easily. Like Andy and I have had conversations about this. I can't watch like really scary, like bloody, gory movies. Like Fear Fest is on right now on AMC. I love it. Okay. I love the first half of Fear Fest when it's the cheesy 70s and 80s movies. When today it transitioned to a marathon of every alien movie, I said, I cannot watch this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. That's true. Like the bloody gory ones.
Can't do.
Yeah. You know, I like the ones that just mess with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. That's my favorite kind of movie. It's really got a twist.
Last week, my cousin and mom and I went out to Vallis Pumpkin Patch, and they have a haunted house there, and I was really scared to go in it. And so
the one with the putt putt ball.
Yes. Went in that.
Wait a minute. At Vallis?
Lower your guard. That's how scared I am. And so I went anyway, and my cousin, who's 30, she's like, come on. And I said, well, literally, I need you to hold my hand. So as we're going in, I turn around and I see a 7-year-old and her dad, and I'm like, I know this is scary, but we're going to be okay. I said, we're together. And she goes, this is my second time going through it tonight. You'll be fine. I said, okay, keep moving.
Nice job. Oh, my gosh. All right, we've got a story. I think it's Noelle is over here. Is that right?
Yes.
Hi, all right. Noelle. Hello. I know you've got a couple of stories on that page, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've always dealt with this throughout my childhood and adult years. But the one that always has stuck out in my mind was I was 9. I had begged my mom to go visit my father in California. I don't know if you know, California is an all-year-round school.
Okay.
So, granted, I was on summer vacation. The kids that were out there were not. They were
right.
in school. And, of course, I wouldn't have any friends out there yet because I had just got there. My dad went to work, and I was sitting there watching cartoons, and I decide I need to use the restroom, so I go in, I use it. And the way his bathroom is set up, it's the bathroom and the tub are in one room. You shut the door, and then on the outside is the sink area.
Okay.
Well, I go out there, I go to wash my hands, and out of the blue, this just very whispery name. It called my name.
Oh,
it
my God.
Just
okay.
very whispery.
Was it
Noelle.
In the same room with you, or?
It was right behind me.
Oh!
Wow.
Oh, my God. That was the one time that I'm like, I completely.
Like, was it a man, or was it a woman?
It was a woman.
Okay.
Wow.
And the thing
Jeez.
That frightened me the most was I knew nobody in that area.
Right.
I searched. I searched every room. I went outside and looked because it was an apartment complex. You know, things.
And you were little, too. How old were you again?
9.
9 years old. And your name is not exact. It's not like.
No, it's not common.
Mm-hmm. Noelle.
Yeah.
So
okay.
after I figured out there was nothing out there, I hid under the bed till my dad got home.
Yeah.
Smart lady. I would have done the same thing.
Wendy's
exactly.
trembling.
I know.
Matt, come hold her.
Exactly. And you've got a second one on that sheet, too. Go right ahead.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I don't know if any of you have heard The Legend of the Seven Sisters Road.
No.
I have. It's outside of Nebraska City, and it's just a twisted story. I checked on it. There's no proof behind it. But one of the things that's supposed to happen while you're there is either your car will completely die on one of the hills, and you will hear three
blood-curdling screams
by a woman. Sign me up. I had the ghost app on my phone, and we were sitting in the car. My friend was on the outside. And I had it going, and she said, shut it off. So I shut it off, and I heard the screams.
Did she hear them too?
She heard all three. I only heard 1 to 2. I can't exactly remember, but I only heard 1 to 2 of them. But they had caught all three on cassette.
Oh, my gosh.
So we do have proof.
What? Oh, my gosh. You need to bring that next year or send that to us. That's crazy. You could hear them on
You can hear them distinctly.
Jeez.
To be exact, but we had two friends that were a quarter of a mile away from us. They came and asked me if, like, a mouse ran across my foot.
Well, they thought it was you.
They thought it was me.
Wow.
But the problem with that is I looked at them, I go, I just had surgery on my neck. My voice can't even hit that high.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly.
There are places. Okay, where is the Seven Sisters Road?
Seven Sisters Road is outside of Nebraska City. It's near the power plant.
Okay. There's a lot of places. Even if you go, when mm-hmm. I was in high school, we would go, there's like by UTAN and stuff. There's mm-hmm. a lot of these minimum maintenance roads that you just drive down, and they are
those
deserted houses. And I know that's just all stories that you make up to scare each other and get the girls to sit on your lap. But
you're talking about Pigman.
Right.
Yeah. I won't go into Pigman now. I'll wait till Halloween because that's too embarrassing.
Yes.
That's
but
the best.
It's just, but there is, if anybody's from around this, if you guys are around here or out west by Waterloo, UTAN Valley area, there's a legend of this pig man dude that lives in some old house, and mm-hmm. but you have to drive down this minimum maintenance road, and it's a freaky story.
Isn't it funny when you say it out loud how ridiculous
it sounds?
Yes.
That's why do you think I'm not going to say the story?
You're more than happy to accept it when you're a teenager.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, dude, I heard about it.
Yeah, and you're listening because Bob tells you. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're so scared out because Bob told you the story, and it's freaky. But there are a lot of great places to go in town, and mm-hmm. we're getting tweets from people actually that are out mm-hmm. taking my suggestion that I said to go on a deserted gravel road mm-hmm. and listen to the show. So that's really cool. We appreciate that mm-hmm. a lot.
Very good.
Okay, so we have more stories. Are we going to do more stories? Or are we going to do?
We have
some EVP. We have EVPs we haven't played too. Okay, so if somebody's just tuning in, Kelly from Prism and your dad Carl's going to join us in a little bit. Sent us some EVPs earlier on this week that we're playing tonight. We've got a couple of other ones from, let me see, Velisca. If somebody's just tuning in for the first time and they didn't hear the one that Bailey brought to the table about an hour ago, this one is from what hotel was it?
Stanley Hotel.
The Stanley Hotel. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll just listen to it and we'll talk about it.
There's a weird noise over here.
Yeah.
It's like your ears are ringing, but it's constantly going.
That's just
tell us if you can hear anything.
That is just so crazy. And anybody, obviously, can catch an EVP.
Absolutely, yep.
Just turn on a recording device.
Yeah. When we had the UNOS summit last week, we had community members that used their iPhone and recorded and captured audio. So.
When somebody calls you and says, we think our house is haunted and we're just going to set up a recording device and check it out.
No.
Why no? Why no?
Because you have to live there.
Because you don't know. You don't. Would you buff? If somebody came to you and wanted.
Leave.
Yeah, you'd want to. I would think so. I mean, that's your. Well, you don't know what you're going to catch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of. If you want to know what's there, then yeah, set up the recording. I mean, the apartment that I used to live in was haunted, and then we moved because it was haunted, and that was before we started doing the Prism thing, so this was like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we got into the Prism thing, and then we were like into it, and we're cool, and this is awesome, let's set up a recorder in our new apartment. And it sounded like elephants were stampeding through the kitchen while we were asleep. And number one, how did I sleep through it?
Right.
And you know, it mm-hmm. is, it's overwhelming. It's like too much to get it in your house like
that. The same thing can happen too, like the video. When they have the video recording, or if you leave something on at the house all day,
like
you
paranormal
know?
Activity.
Yeah, like
ITC
we can't or something.
Yes.
Go there.
Cannot go there.
No.
I will not go
no,
there.
No, I will get my person leave.
Yes.
There.
You know, there. My wife is really into like British history. Like loves it.
Like Downton Abbey.
Yeah, like loves it. Absolutely loves it. But there. We were watching a show last night of the one of the London Tower, I think. But there's a complex of castles in this area, and at night, completely shut down, the only people that go in are the security guards. And there's an area that is an open courtyard with a couple of doors, and nobody's in this area at night. Nobody. And they have video from a couple of years ago, 2010, I think. And I don't know if anybody else saw this the other night. It's pretty crazy that these doors, these double doors, one of them opens really quick. And the second one opens really quick, and then you see this figure, almost like a cloaked figure, which looks like a skeleton kind of, reach out, grab him, and shut the door. And and they talked to the security guards, and nobody was in that area.
Somebody was.
Somebody was.
Say nobody.
Wow. All right, we need to get Jane and Melissa up here, too, so you can go over to the microphone over there. We're going to grab you girls as well, because you
These
have some pretty
some
good
brave
stories.
Listeners.
Yeah,
I know, they're
you.
Awesome.
They
Very
got great
brave.
Stories.
They do.
Absolutely love them. All right, who do we have first? Melissa? All right, Melissa, get on that microphone. I want you to tell your story.
Good night. Okay, so this was back in 2009. My grandfather, our grandmother passed away when we were really young, back in 1989. And through that, we disconnected from our grandfather for a little bit. So it was probably 15 years since we had been in the house. And Grandpa called us and said, I need help cleaning the house out. And we're like, okay, fine. So we go, and it was just a feeling of, okay, Grandma's here. And she only lived in that house since birth.
Wow.
So it's an old house. And we're downstairs, and it was a hoarder's paradise down there. Any back issue of Reader's Digest you wanted to about 1952, you could have found. So we're going through, and we're just sick of it, and we're tossing stuff, and I'm a sentimental person, so I'm stopping every 5 minutes to look at stuff, and my dad was getting very angry, saying, just throw it away. And so we're throwing it. He comes over to grab something. Something falls down on his foot. And we're like, okay, what's that? He goes to pick it up. It's in a pile of magazines, my grandma's original Social Security card.
Wow.
With her maiden name on it.
Oh, wow.
Not when she was married, with her maiden name on it. So he's like, what? Dad's a skeptic. So Dad's like, yeah, whatever, throws it away. Rips it up, throws it away.
Wow.
Okay.
No.
So as kids, we were not allowed in the attic. We begged. We're like, what is up there? The joke, because she was 100% Sicilian, so the joke was the mob bodies were up there.
The bodies were up there.
We were never allowed up there. And so we looked at each other, and we're like, we're going in the attic.
Nobody's
grown adults.
Stop you,
no one's
right.
here to stop us. My dad, once again, thinks we're crazy, and he's like, go in the attic. There's nothing up there. And we're like, okay. So we run like little kids back upstairs, and we go to open the door. My sister, who's here tonight, standing right behind me, I could not open the door. I literally was sitting on the floor pulling, trying to open the door. And I'm like, it's locked, Julie. And she's like, pulling herself. She can't get it open. We're both pulling on the door. Cannot get it open. She's like, go tell Dad it's locked. So I go, and we're like, Dad, it's locked. He looks at us like we're nuts and has a panic attack. He goes, it can't be locked. There's not a key. We're like, it's locked. You better go check. It's locked. So we go up there. Dad goes, touches it. It opens right up.
Of course.
Wow.
And so he, once again, thinks we're nuts. And, and we're like, we swear it was locked. And he just walks away. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting into this attic. I don't care. I'm going. And so a couple days later, because it took us weeks to clean out the house, a couple days later, I go in there. The skeleton key's in the door. And I'm like, Dad said there's no key. And so we went back. I'm like, Dad, there's a key in the door. He's like, Melissa, there is no stinking key to the attic. And I'm like, there's an attic key. It is in the door. Well,
wow.
Your grandpa must have brought it. I'm like, okay, where's Grandpa? And Grandpa comes a couple hours, are like, where'd you find the attic key? He once again looks at me like I'm nuts. There is no attic key. I'm like, will you two fools go in there and look at the attic door? That key's in there. They both just looked at, where did it come from? We could never get that door open.
That's amazing.
My grandpa could get it open. My mom could get it open. Dad could get it open.
But you guys never could.
We could never get it open. It was lovely. Grandma going, what did I tell you?
Wagging her finger.
You know what? You're right, probably.
She's like, are you kidding me?
you were moving all her stuff.
Well,
she was mad.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And like I said, I'm a sentimental person. So I took a lot of the stuff back to my house with my sister sitting there going, you're crazy. I'm not taking it back into my house. Like, I have her Bible and a cross that was our great-grandfather.
Right.
Well, stuff started happening in my house. Lights turned off. And for about 6 weeks, I would wake up in the middle of the night, look around like someone was there. And I'm like, what is going on? Well, then
we have
a friend that we found out is actually a medium. And, when she calls to tell me this, I'm like, okay, she's hit her head, whatever. And I go and I meet her, and she had a message from Grandma, and Grandma pretty much confirmed, told you not to go
That's
in the
awesome.
Attic.
There you go.
So
that's great, girl.
Andy, and
thank you.
What ghost that can actually make a key materialize?
Or
does that
move
key,
it?
Or move it. Like we've talked about this on the show before. You can't find your keys, and all of a sudden you're walking around, and then your keys are sitting on your bed, and you know you checked there. How does a ghost make something either go away and come back, or like Jill
Didn't
said,
you
move
see
it?
Ghost?
Oh yeah, the penny. The pottery.
Yeah. I was going to say, they spin beautiful pots.
Of course they do. Yeah.
Gorgeous. Summer Arts Festival.
There you go.
The thing I think we can all agree on is the physics, you know, on the other side. In spirit world, it works a bit differently. So, but, you know, just like us, some of us here on Earth are, you know, like Pat can bench 300 pounds and other people. Right,
no big deal.
.com.
No big deal.
And then other people can only bench 100 pounds. We're talking about strength. And I think that, you know, certain spirits and ghosts also have strength, but we're not talking about physical strength. We're talking about spiritual strength. You know, so one ghost may be able to move my water bottle here on the table an inch. Right. I've had a ghost before in my house materialized a whole picture through a door that was shut. You know, how they do it exactly, I guess none of us will know until we get over there and we're pranking our loved ones by haunting them. But really cool story about that key. Holy cow.
But why don't they?
A great story.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
I just thought that was neat because so many people were involved in it, you know. It was like, and they had to just, everybody just had to be shaking their head.
Right.
What just happened?
But why doesn't grandma automatically come back to us? When we're laying on, when you're on, she's on the deathbed and you're talking to her, if you can come back to me and talk to me, why does it take them 2, 3, 4 years, or and then it never happens, and randomly 10 years later in a dream?
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, isn't that the rumor of when Houdini died? Was it Houdini? That who's going to come back? There was something like that. It was
a safe word?
But something, you know, like that, then nothing.
And I think there's a million different answers to that question, Pat. You know, this rabbit hole goes really deep.
Yeah,
you know, but
true.
It could even involve things such as your life purpose. You know, if it's in your life purpose to work on lessons of grief and faith and strength, maybe they're intentionally not giving that message because they want you to sit on it for about a decade and think and believe that they're in a good place and that they're okay. And once you've fulfilled that life purpose and your faith is stronger, as a little cherry on the cake, then they will come back and give you that validating message.
Right.
That
when you're ready to hear it. Right.
Wendy, because it's a two-way street.
Makes sense.
We have to have our spiritual.
That's true.
Yeah.
Here, you've got to be ready for it as well as on the other side.
Exactly.
And if you're not at that point yet. So possibly if the spirits are the ones that are coming back, would they be the older spirits, the more experienced? Or,
you know, in my opinion,
because they're fulfilling a purpose on Earth as well as fulfilling a purpose for themselves.
Right. You know, and as far as, you know, the strength of a spirit, this is just what I've learned over years of giving readings, is that typically a spirit will gain strength the longer that they're on the other side. So, you know, dear grandma who passed away 15 years ago may be able to make physical objects move and come to you a little bit more obviously than your cousin who passed away last week. Right. Because if they just passed away last week, their spiritual battery is still recharging on the other side, and they're, you know, they've got their own things to work on. But you know, be patient enough, you'll eventually get your sign.
That's great. That's great. All right, we got another story. Do you want to take a story or a break? We got
story
lined up.
Let's do a story, and then we'll do when we have one more break, and then we'll get Carl up here, and we have the big.
See right now,
big
my
daddy
nose
EVP.
Is cold right now.
My feet
See,
are cold.
I know.
My nose is cold.
But only my right hand is cold. Not
I think you're having a stroke.
Is there a doctor in the lounge?
My hands aren't cold, but my nose is
really
wheezing cold. All right, who do we have over there? I'm sorry.
Okay, my name's Jane.
Hi,
hey,
Jane.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Back in the 1980s, my ex and I rented a house in Colorado Springs. It was probably built in about the 60s, kind of your standard tri-level, but somebody had built this gigantic addition on the back that was a great big master suite over an extension onto the family room. So my master suite looked down over the family room and out onto Pikes Peak, which was kind of cool.
That's neat.
Very cool.
But anyway, in this house, I kind of thought I had a guardian ghost living with me. My ex traveled extensively with his job and was gone for weeks on end, and he had kind of a stalker girlfriend that I think was trying to break us up before the marriage actually happened. So when things would happen, like missing mail or the obscene phone calls or things like that, that was always when he was gone. And that's when I would see things that kind of indicated the presence of someone in the house. My keys would be moved to the other side of the table, or the cupboards would open, or things like that. But I'd think, oh, well, it must just be that old ancient cat of his. It's pushing stuff off the table or whatever. But you know, I kind of tried to make excuses for whatever. But then it started happening. I had him get me a dog because it was such a huge house. I was kind of afraid maybe this stalker girlfriend would get in. I wanted someone to bark at her.
So or just bite her. Yeah. Which makes it in.
And it was a schnauzer, so like she was gonna defend me. But she was a good alarm system. But one thing we had noticed the minute we moved into the house, the senile old cat would just sit at the entrance to the master suite and howl. She would not come in the room. She had always slept with us before. You'd pick her up and carry her in, say, just settle down, you stupid cat. And next thing you know, she's bolting for the door and standing out in the hallway howling again. So
nothing worse than a cat that howls.
So, again, we're thinking she's 18 years old. The cat's senile, you know, whatever. So, but as things progressed and this girlfriend was I think, torturing me, to let the dog outside, I'd have to go all the way downstairs to the family room below the master suite. I'd let the dog out. I'd come back in. I'd come upstairs, go to sleep. Next morning, I'd take the dog down, and the light would be on outside. So I'm thinking, I must have left the light on last night. Well, so I started, like, even, you know, taping the switch down, and the next morning I'd go down, and it would be on again.
Wow.
And so I went, I talked to people at work, and one of the guys there, you know, I'm like, I'm getting kind of creeped out about this. And he said, well, I think your ghost is trying to protect you. They're turning the lights on to keep this stalker person away from the house. So, you know, I always felt kind of good about it. It was almost like having a grandpa or the crazy uncle there that was playing pranks on you, moving stuff around, and protecting me as well. And so when we left Colorado Springs, well, even before, I would kind of talk to him but say, you know, I'm just not quite ready to see you. Would you please not show me? But you're welcome here. I kind of enjoy the company. Yeah. And then when we left, I said, if you can come with us, you're welcome. But
nothing when you moved?
No, nothing came with me. So I was actually a little disappointed.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not a creepy story, but, you know.
I like that. I like
that.
Thank you. The part, though, about the just kind of a guardian.
Just hanging out.
Kind of being helpful.
Like the neighbor that always lets you, hey, you left your garage door open last night. Just wanted to let
very
you know.
Very nice little friendly girl.
And I shut it for you.
Yes, and I shut it for you. That's right.
You can handle those kinds of
things. Those are fine. Find me.
So, all right, so we'll take a break and come back, and then our last segment.
Things up?
Yeah, wrapping things up, and we've got the EVPs from Valiska, a couple of them, right? So,
yep.
And, that are crazy.
Yeah, Wendy, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Happy Halloween.
Thanks, you too.
Happy Halloween.
Pat and JT live in the Liney Lounge down on 50. And Dodge, right in the middle of Pat and JT After Dark. Coming right back.
Pat and JT After Dark on Q98.5 is back. Live from the Liney Lounge at 50th and Dodge.
It is about 10 minutes until we're done. Actually, about like 8 minutes until we're done. Pat and JT live on 50th and Dodge in the Liney Lounge. It's Pat and JT After Dark. We want to thank everybody here. Round of applause.
Oh,
you guys,
my gosh.
Thank you very much for coming in tonight.
This has been a lot of fun. And also, I wanted to point out, too, by the way, that Ghost Radar Dave is sitting in the front right up here, right? See, that's we've never met before, have we?
No.
Yeah. And this is about a year ago. You called in to the station, and I don't remember how this all transpired. Had you just discovered this app? I don't know. I wish we had. You know what? I want you to go over there by Jennifer real quick because more people have downloaded this app. You should get a commission.
Yeah, do you own it?
Really? And I would be okay with it.
All right. So, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'd had the app for a couple of years when I called in last year. And actually when the – sorry. I'll talk like this.
You're
now.
Fine. Okay.
So I'd had the app for a couple of years and had some hits on it. Had never had a person's name come up on it. And I was back home and driving down. It was nighttime. I'm giving you the short version here. And so I guess I need to backtrack. My biological father I hadn't seen in over 50 years, and he had passed a few years previous. And then so the man who raised me had died 10 years ago. In the 2 years that I had the app, a person's name had never come up on the Ghost Radar. So I'm going from my mom's house to my friend's house, and all of a sudden the name Frank came up. That was my biological father.
Wow.
And I said, so out loud I said, Frank who? Well, his name was Frank Morrison. I didn't figure it would Ghost Radar would pop off with that. So I said Frank Morrison, and it came back with Dad.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
So, and then the next morning, coming back that same way, I turned on the Ghost Radar, and again, I got a name, and it said Harry. Well, that was my dad. That was the guy that raised me. And then it said Frank again, and then it said Drink. So I assume
They're having a drink together.
Two of them are having a drink.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
So. There you go. Now, well, thank you so much for calling in when you did. And for everybody who has Ghost Radar Classic.
Who has it here? Anybody? Have you guys, do you guys have this down here?
Clap.
Give the applause. Everybody has it up going. That's
classic.
Awesome.
Everybody's got their Ghost Radar running.
It's probably evolved. They probably have Ghost Radar Turbo.
Probably.
And
other. That's fabulous. All right. Well, thank you, though, Dave. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. That's. I just... was so glad that we got an email from him saying that he was going to come down to this. So
that
we
is
could
awesome.
Finally get a chance to meet him.
We welcome Carl to our panel. And Carl is Kelly's dad. And yes. You guys are both, did you guys, and Carl, get real close to that mic too. Who was the founding member of PRISM? Who started it?
David Rodriguez founded PRISM back in 2003. Mm-hmm. And his wife was in the service, and she got transferred to Florida, and they went down there. They left us in 2006, and effectively I became the director of PRISM, and we've just continued to build it through the years now.
How many people do you have that work with you or go with you on the haunts and the investigations? And
I think right now we have like about 13 or 14 active members that come with us. So.
And how long is the wait to get something, like somebody wants their house investigated? How long does it take to get in there?
We usually say give us a month because we all have full-time jobs, and this is just a hobby.
Right, okay. Okay, so special equipment. What kind of things do you guys use that we can't go buy at Walmart?
Well, this is our version of a ghost radar.
Okay.
What
it's
is that?
It's called the PX Ghost Box, and it has a 2,000-word vocabulary, and it speaks like computer. I mean, it's hard to understand sometimes, but we've had some really spot-on stuff with this.
How does it so it's supposed to pick up what a goat or a spirit or whatever is around you saying?
Supposedly the spirits can use this box to communicate with us.
It can use the words in the box to form words that the box can say to us.
Right. So kind of like honestly it's like an electronic Ouija board.
Really.
Because the other words it was spelling it out.
Right.
Now it's got the words.
When we investigated at the Upstream Brewery, we had things, and that was Omaha's first firehouse. And we had things like disaster and fire and
repeatedly.
Firemen. So it's just
that's
amazing,
crazy.
You know. And it's not real
amazing.
Proof that we use, but it's just something that's crazy that you can use to confirm things.
So we're all kind of tweaking on spiritual stuff. So tonight, people want to go home. Other than
or what?
I don't know. I'm tired. Other than turning on an audio, I didn't say twerking, I said tweeting. Somebody wants to go home, and we were talking earlier about recording an audio, but you set up a video camera, an audio, you want to do kind of a quick little mini investigation. People leave tonight could go do that if they
wanted audio to. And video is all you need. I mean, even just an audio recorder from Walmart, a digital camera, and a video camera from Walmart. Literally, you can be a paranormal investigator. You can investigate anywhere. These are just fun toys. I mean, this is just stuff that we use that's flashy and cool and fun. But, our evidence comes from audio recordings. So.
Right. And where do you get that stuff?
On websites.
In the back of what magazine do you see that?
Yeah. These all just come off of websites. I mean, there's different places.
So you just Google
mostly
it.
Mostly East Coast.
If you watch
Ghost Adventures, they have Bill Channel on there, and he's the developer of this PX box, which now it's the Ovulus. But this one, we have better luck than people that have the Ovulus. So, sometimes the earlier models work better.
All right,
let's get into these EVPs. We've been waiting for 2 weeks.
Okay,
so I'm going to make sure that we're playing. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
I've been freaking out to tell people, and you're like, oh, don't tell anybody.
I haven't wanted
to. Let's wait until after
save
dark.
It for after dark.
I haven't wanted to hear
them
either.
It was like September that I captured this stuff.
Yeah, so you've played these. Kind of give the backstory on these, and then we'll play them.
I don't know which ones you're.
I don't either. That's a good question. Let me see. Well, they're from Villisca, but after you heard them, how many people have heard these, and their reaction has been? I mean,
there's really only a handful of people. The one EVP. There's only about a handful of people that's actually heard it.
Okay, I've got here's how they're labeled: female crying, and then I have just crying and mommy.
Crying, mommy's a good one.
Okay.
Crying is the big one.
Crying
upstairs,
is okay. We'll do.
Upstairs
crying or just crying? Upstairs female crying or
crying,
just crying?
Crying?
Just crying? Okay.
Just crying.
We'll do the mommy one first.
Let's start
okay,
with
explain
mommy.
Explain
Here
what
we
was
go.
Going on in this. This is Villisca.
Because we planned this.
Yeah.
Very well.
Okay, ready?
Just play it. And
okay, here we go.
It's like a whole conversation.
Mommy. enhancement.
That's the enhancement. Listen again. Yeah.
And you guys never take children on
never,
your investigations.
Never, ever take children on an investigation. And this was at Villisca, and, you know, Villisca is one of those that pulls out your heartstrings because, you know, you're in there and you know what happened there. I mean, for those of you that don't know about the Villisca Axe Murder House, June 10th, 1912, there was eight people. Six of them were children.
Six children, two visitors.
Two visitor children and four biological children of the Josiah and Sarah Moore were all bludgeoned to death with an axe. And it's an unsolved mystery. They've never arrested anybody. There's a lot of theories out there of who did it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just completely unsettling and unsolved. So
It's ridiculous that it never was solved. And, you know, that's the thing, is there was evidence.
Well, and if you read into the theories behind it, and I mean the amount of people that went in and what happened right after it happened, I mean the town of Villisca were like, oh well, Sarah Moore wouldn't want her house to be dirty, so let's go and clean it before the police get here.
Great
so they're
idea.
Cleaning yeah. up the blood and everything because they don't want anybody to, you know, she doesn't want to be embarrassed that her house is dirty.
That her house is a mess.
So
the murders in Villisca at the time knocked it was the same time that the Titanic sunk.
Knocked it
off the front page in Omaha.
I did see that. I
oh,
saw
wow.
that.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
The Ghost Adventures or whatever. In their story, they mentioned that too as well. My nose is freezing
is
right
it?
Now. I mean, it just got really cold. Like while you were talking.
It is really cold in here. Okay, so this last one is another EVP from Villisca. This is the big one that you were talking about?
Yeah, this is the one. I hope everybody, I mean, I've talked it up so much. I hope it's...
Yeah, watch it be terrible. Thanks,
right?
<Kelly.
laughs> It's another hiccup burp, right?
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, here we go.
I can feel the breeze again.
It hurts. Would you like to talk to us?
It's almost like she's crying and saying, ow, or...
I hear, ow, won't someone help us.
Ow, won't someone help us.
Do it again.
Oh, my gosh.
I can feel the breeze again.
It hurts.
Oh, my gosh.
Right,
that is unbelievable. Can you guys all hear that?
So,
wow.
So if that is the kids and it's kind of a replay, because that's how I can sleep, knowing that they're not really reliving
right.
their murder. But if that is, then all of the theories go out the window that they were asleep when it happened because they're crying for help. They're asking why won't anybody help them. So
that is unbelievable.
Intense.
Yeah.
We gotta listen one more time.
I can feel the breeze again.
It hurts.
Won't someone please
and
help us?
Why Whoa. Won't someone help us?
And what's even crazier about that, you hear right before that, one of our investigators, Cassandra Beacom, she says, it hurts. And in context, I mean, with that EVP, like, that was just, like, priceless that it was right there. She's referring to her head. And about maybe 5 minutes before we captured that EVP, she's complaining about how her head just hurts. It's just a violent head pain, and it just hurts so bad. And she
yes.
didn't put two and two together.
Exactly.
And then she was like, they were, you know, they were hitting the head with an axe, with the dull end of an axe.
Right.
I mean, you know, she was feeling into that.
I didn't let that play out where you kind of enhanced it and slowed it down. Let's play, let the whole thing play.
I can feel the breeze again.
It hurts. Would you like to talk to us?
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the clear ones we'll ever hear.
That is amazing.
Oh, wow.
Impact.
Well,
like that.
There you go.
Sleep tight, everyone.
Go.
So there you go.
Have
fun.
Oh my gosh!
Well,
again.
You guys, thank you for everybody that's been part of the panel. Andy, Elizabeth, who's here. Thank you very much. Kelly and Carl, you guys have been awesome.
With
thank
Prism.
You.
Thanks for having
With
us.
Prism.
Appreciate that.
Steve, hit that dive. Thanks
Steve
for coming down.
Steve, that's right. Hit that dive at hit that dive on Twitter. Yes. Definitely, and then Ms. Wendy Townley.
Yes, and Bailey for supplying us with our EVP earlier this morning. And then everybody, we had said at the beginning that we didn't know for sure if we would get everybody's story on. Obviously, next year we'll have to do it a little bit longer. But the people who did get up and tell their stories, thank you.
When he first mentioned this on the air for the very first time, the first bright idea was he was going to do, what was it, 10 to 2.
10 to 2, the witching hour. No way, too late.
Seriously, I haven't seen one in the morning, and I don't know how long. I'm sitting over here fighting yawns, and I'm wide awake, but it's just my body's like, what are you doing? Yeah. But then he turned it to 9 to midnight. Mm-hmm. We're going to 9 to midnight.
Yeah, and then pulled the brakes on back to 11. So we should have done midnight, yeah, but we can't.
I think we hey, Pat, when are you going to share your Pigman story?
When's Thanksgiving?
Thursday.
Thanksgiving.
On Thursday.
On Thanksgiving, yeah.
On Thanksgiving, yes.
We'll be tuned in.
I'll tell the Pigman story on that day.
It's becoming tradition, man. It's a good story.
It's almost like a cup of Christmas tea.
It is.
Right, Halloween. Right.
The Pigman, yeah.
It's the Pigman story.
You guys, it took the time, too, to come down here and be with us
thank
for 2 hours.
Thank you so much.
We thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Had a great time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks to Jenny for helping us out, too. Whit, back
Whit
in the corner.
Come.
Everybody at Q that helped us. Jeff, who gave us the permission to do this for 2 hours. Thank you. And you guys, we'll be back on Monday morning. We're back at 5 o'clock. And then... well, but I don't know.
We're gearing up for Halloween.
For Halloween. Yeah, for actual Halloween.
We are gearing up for Halloween. We'll get through that.
You guys have a great rest of the weekend. We'll see you later. Pat and JT are back on Monday, continuing here on Q98.5. See ya.